Are you looking forward to what God has to share with us? Right, let's pray together. Father, thank you that as we come into your presence, as we draw closer to you, your promise is that you will draw closer to us. And Father, right now we need you close to us. We need you, Father. Without you, this is just a meeting. But with you, Lord, it's a time of exciting change. It's a time of revival with you, of being renewed, being restored. And that's what we're seeking after. That's what our heart's desire is. So, Father, would you infuse my words with your truth? Guide me and help me this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the good news is we're continuing with our series on earth as it is in heaven, right? And we're going to carry on with this. Today we're dealing with the subject that is, what is an open heaven? Right? It's part of our getting ready for revival teachings, making sure that we get our hearts and our minds sorted out so God can bring revival. Right? That's what we want. We need more of that, Lord. Now, one of the phrases that we so often hear whenever there's a discussion about revival is this phrase, it's an open heaven or under an open heaven. Have you ever wondered what they mean? Well, today I'm going to look at that subject, what is an open heaven, so that we can understand why it is so important for our Christian life that we live under an open heaven. Oh. Are you interested yet? Okay, some are, yes. Right. So let me talk a little bit about astronomy. I didn't say astrology. I said astronomy. Right. Shirley and I had the opportunity to experience what was known as a star safari. No, we didn't drive through the suburbs of Pretoria and have someone pointing out to us, oh, so-and-so celebrity stays here and so-and-so. Didn't do that. We went out and we were looking at the night sky. And we had somebody who was much cleverer than we are, pointing out what was what and which star was which star. And yeah. We were on a farm up in Vaalwater. Yeah, that's Doorngon Daboer Iwester, where it's nice and warm. And that night, once it got dark, yeah, about 8 o'clock, we all went out onto this field, and it's a farm, it's a field. Use your imagination, right? There were no lights around. It was just stars. You know, I was amazed at how bright those stars were. I was even more amazed at how close they appeared, because that's all you could see was the light of the stars. And then I was really amazed when he started to say, oh, and this cluster of stars is called... Yeah, and I looked at him, and I looked at the stars, and I said, that's just stars, man. Yeah, the imagination of people that they could name those stars something. The only group of stars that I can recognize, and still today, to this day, can only recognize as the Southern Cross. Right? That's all I know. But as I was looking at this incredible beauty, a thought struck me. And that was, how much greater would heaven be? How much greater would the beauty in heaven be? Right. And I was looking at this, the physical heavens around us, and I realized, you know, there are invisible heavens around us as well. And so I started to just be aware of the invisible parts around us. And perhaps this table will go a little bit to help explain what I'm talking about. What we could see there is what we term the first heaven, right? The physical sky, the physical heavens around us, a visible world. But then there's also the second heaven, which is an invisible realm, a place where angels and demons exist and they move around. But that's not heaven that we talk about. Because the third heaven is where God rules over all. That's heaven. When you talk about an open heaven, this is the heaven we talk about. Right? And because God rules there and he's on his throne, everything is perfect and it's wonderful. Yeah. So when we speak about an open heaven, we are talking about God's presence, God's power, him on his throne, breaking through the invisible, through the second heaven, into our physical world here at this moment in time. God's perfect reality invading our physical world. Just think about it. When we pray for somebody and they are healed, do you know what's actually happened? They healed. Yes, I know that. Right? What's actually happened, it's a demonstration that God in his heaven has broken through to our physical world and touched that person's life. The kingdom of God has come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we term an open heaven. Got it? Okay. Now, just to make sure that you don't think that I'm talking a lot of nonsense, Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 9 said, "Heal the sick and say to the people when you do that, right, the kingdom of God has come near. Heaven has broken in." You see, right now, where we are, we can't always say we are under an open heaven. Yeah? Right? But when revival breaks out, then we know for sure that we're living under an open heaven, which is why we're looking for revival, which is why we're pushing in to get revival. That we keep on saying to God, "Lord, we need you here amongst us. Bring revival, Lord." Another way of saying being under an open heaven is saying we're moving closer to God. Because you know the promise of Scripture where he says, "Draw near to me and I will draw near to you." Or we can say the kingdom of God has broken into the reality of our physical circumstances. It really is on earth as it is in heaven. But with all the focus on an open heaven, there are some incorrect teachings that are out there. And I'm going to just highlight some of the main points very briefly. The very first one is, the heavens are only open for a short time and then God closes them again. Right? After that, you will hear these things get added to that teaching as well. Only during this time of open heaven does God bring revival and prosperity to the churches. And he adds an increase of wealth to the church. So that's why you search out an open heaven. Right? Or God pours out his blessings and manifestations of his glory and power only when the heavens are open. Now let's get to the truth. The truth is found in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 to 22. Because the heavens opened when Jesus, who was in obedience to God, he was baptized by John, and the Holy Spirit came down onto Jesus. here on earth and has never left. Verse 21 says, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him. Nowhere does it say the heavens were closed. Nowhere does it say, and the Holy Spirit left. So since that moment, heavens have been opened to us. They have not been closed. And the greatest adventure that we could ever experience is to discover this truth for ourselves and then always live in the experience of an open heaven. Because here's the truth. God has designed each of us, you and me, each of us to live every single day of our lives knowing and experiencing that we are equipped with all the perfection of heaven. Because it's open. Oh, it's very quiet in this place. So when we meet someone who is sick, ooh, the rubber hits the road now, doesn't it? We know, because we know, that their complete healing is in heaven. And we, you and me, we are empowered and we are equipped to reach into heaven in the spiritual, bring down health to the physical, and that person, sickness is banished from their life. That's who we are. So if you pick up your phone and you look at it, and you put it on the front camera, so you can see what your face looks like, right? You can say, you are equipped to bring healing to others through the power of God. So, of course, now we know that not everybody does this, right? Why not? Why doesn't everyone experience more of this? Well, I think, if I look at myself, because now I'm preaching to myself more than I'm preaching to anybody else, we don't always believe that we're good enough to receive anything from God. This is why. We don't believe we're good enough. If you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, or you've had the thought, I'm not good enough for God. I've got two words for you. Stop it. The truth is, you are God's beloved. You are valued beyond words. You are His chosen person to bring His love and mercy and grace to everyone in all circumstances. So just stop it. Hang on to the truth of who you are in God's presence. He loved you so, so, so much that He gave His only Son to die for you and me. Hang on to those truths. And the Bible says we are heirs of His kingdom. And you know what that means? To be an heir means that everything that is in heaven is ours. Let that one sink in. Did you take note? I didn't say some things. I said all. Everything that is in heaven belongs to us. It's time that we believe that and we repent from this whole thing that says, I'm not good enough. God doesn't love me enough. Let's leave that behind us and turn to what God's word really says to us. Because you see, unfortunately, what happens is many Christians repent enough to be forgiven, but not enough to see the kingdom of God and to experience it in their life. Jesus knew this. He knew that this was so true. And so what he did was he taught his disciples. And in Matthew chapter 5, he says this. He says, happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. And then he adds, the kingdom of heaven, what's that word? Belongs to them. You see, being spiritually poor is that realization and acceptance and understanding that me in myself, by my strength, can do nothing. Only by being totally reliant on God will something happen. Only when we are fully dependent on God to bring revival will revival come in this place as it is in heaven. When we accept that we are totally dependent on God, at that point, we've identified ourselves as being spiritually poor. And right at that moment, everything that is in the kingdom of God, heaven, right? And the word is, belongs to us. Come on, say it with me. Everything that is in the kingdom of God belongs to me. Oh, forget the us. Let's say it like we mean it. Everything that is in the kingdom of God belongs to me. That's what Jesus taught. It's what he taught those who followed him. That's what's in the Bible. It's not something I'm sucking out of a thumb. It's truth from Scripture. And it really is time that we repent. That we repent from being this self-made person, this self-reliant person who's totally in control all the time. Now, I want to misquote a popular saying because I'm going to deal with the whole wealth issue that is in the wrong, that are wrong teachings. So I'm going to misquote a popular saying from a few years ago, and I want to ask this question. Well, what about the money? Proverbs 10:22 says, the Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. All our work adds nothing to it. Here's something which you may not have realized. There is no need for money in heaven. You know, there's no banks in heaven. I won't say why. And just for Alan, there's no cash in transit trucks. Just think about this. When God led Moses and the Israelites out of Egypt and towards the promised land, for the time that they were in the wilderness, God's presence was with them during the day and during the night, and it was visible, right? We know this one. But during that time, clothes didn't wear out. Shoes didn't break. And they were walking in a desert, right? Their food and drink was provided for them every single day because they were totally dependent and reliant on God. And we know that God is present with us today. Yeah? Right? And so the same can be true for us, where our dependence on God is such that we no longer have to worry about money. And now I know money is important in this life. I know that. But you know, there came a time in our life where I went to God and I said, God, your promise is you will not let your children go hungry. And during that period of time, it was about this time of the year, there was problems that had happened with the finances, and Shirley and I knew that we had insufficient finances to last us every month to get through the month with food. And that was, this whole scenario was going to carry on until February next year, the end of the financial year. We knew this was the situation. But God was our source. And He provided every single month. For the rest of that time period, we had food every month. Good food too. Right? Our clothes never wore out or broke. Our children didn't get sick, not once during that period. You see, when God is our, when we are fully dependent on God, He honors and He pitches up and He blesses us. Because here's the truth, money doesn't last. But God's blessings are forever. Now, you know that it's God's will that we live under an open heaven all the time? Right? You know, this is what happened to Jesus. Jesus, the man, went to John, was baptized. He came out. Now, up until the point that he was baptized, right, he was a man like I'm a man. But he came out of the water, the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, right, what in the bodily form of a dove, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And from that point on, he lived out his entire life living under an open heaven. Right, Mark chapter 10 tells us that Jesus came out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart, the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And this scripture is an answer to Isaiah's passionate cry to God. Tear open the heavens, Lord. Right, let's try something. The Bulls won this week. The Stormers won yesterday. The Sharks won yesterday. Right now, that same passion is what we need when we go to God and we say, tear open the heavens, Lord. Because that's the passion that Isaiah had. And Mark says, the heavens split apart and are open. Jesus modeled that for us. He is our example of how to live under an open heaven. And what he did through the rest of his life, as he healed the sick, as he brought comfort to those who were hurting, as he set the oppressed free, that's our purpose. That's the task that we have before us. How did he do this? Right. He was fully dependent on God. He prayed. And then he did what his father told him to do. And that's all he did. You know, when his disciples saw what he was doing, they went to him and they said, teach us how to pray. And one of the things that he gave us in that guide in Matthew chapter 6 says, pray like this. Pray, Father God, send your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to do your will. He was teaching them to be fully dependent on God, not on themselves. He was encouraging them to ask God. Right? And so I'm encouraging you, ask God that His kingdom will come on earth. You know, I don't know about you, but asking somebody to do something, there's a bit of hesitancy in me. Because when they say no, that's just rejection. Right? God loves us so much that He will never, ever reject us. He may say no, but it's not a rejection. It's because He knows best. So let's be bold. Let's be courageous. Right? And let's go before God and say, Lord, we need Your open heaven. Because the truth is, if we do not ask, we will not get, says James in James chapter 4, you don't have because what you want because you don't ask God for it. So let's ask. Because the good news is that God is inviting us into His presence. He wants us to live under an open heaven with Him, but He wants us to ask Him. In Revelation chapter 4, it says there's the door standing open in heaven, right? The heavens are open. And the voice of God says, come up here. God wants us to draw near to Him. He wants us to come and spend time in prayer and to spend time depending just on Him and to be obedient to Him. He's calling us into His presence. Now, I can promise you there is no ladder tall enough to climb up there. Right. But what we can do is we can intentionally, determinedly, with boldness, say, Lord, here I am. I want to be close to You. And just spend time talking to Him. Just like that. Do you know, we also call to obey. And in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, we read there, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in My temple. And here's the biggest word in the English dictionary. If you do this, says the Lord, the Lord of heaven's armies, then listen to God's promise. I will open the windows of heaven for you. Don't forget the if. I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to make it in. Try it. Put Me to the test. Isn't it so interesting that the Bible links the obedience of God's people to the opening of heaven? And here in Malachi, we see that our obedience in managing our money is a crucial element in seeing God open His heavens to us. Because when we obey Him, then we receive the true riches of heaven. Luke chapter 16, where Jesus is talking about the true riches of heaven. Read it like this. If I am trustworthy with my worldly wealth, then God will trust me with the true riches of heaven. Because we need to demonstrate that we are faithful in managing our money, so God pours out blessings we cannot contain. And remember, we said earlier in Proverbs chapter 10 that God's blessings are our greatest wealth. And so finally, life under an open heaven. It's available for us. It's there for the taking. It's getting ourselves to the point of trusting God, obeying Him, as we do what Jesus has called us to do. And when we do that, it leads to revival. You want to see revival? No, nobody wants to see revival. Do you want to see revival? right? Then do what Jesus tells us to do. Okay. It goes backwards there. Finally, got forward. Thank you. Do what Jesus tells us to do. You haven't done this before, he says. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, give as freely as you have received. Because life under an open heaven is to be shared with others. And so we say, more, Lord. And we remember that an open heaven, Ron, just do the next one, please. That an open heaven is where God's perfect world of beauty and order and purpose fills this one so completely that it resembles heaven in eternity, even though we're still here in time. That's what an open heaven is. Amen. Wouldn't you want this? Lord, bring revival. Father, bring revival. Lord, hear the cry of our hearts. Hear our heart, Lord, as we seek more of you, more of your presence, more of your power, Lord, simply because we want more of you. Come and fill us, Lord, so much that we are all of you and none of us. Fill us, Lord. Guide us, Father, so that we live under an open heaven. Forgive us, Father, for choosing to do it ourselves and not to be focused on you. And Father, this morning, we need you. We can't do this on our own, Father. We need you. Just more of you. And right now we choose, above all else, we choose to live under that open heaven that is totally open. And because we choose that, Father, we ask, would you help us? Would you guide us? Would you show us what this means? In Jesus' name. Amen.